we welcome you into the West Coast edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, or at least that's what it feels like after the last few days. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the Bat, and I've got Tara Wellman. Tara Wellman on Twitter. Bird seats. You see, these late night games are getting to me. I mean, even though
I feel ya.
You know, I mean, all of us, we're just kind of zonked out here after a lot of midnights and things of that nature. So, if we're a little loopy here, blame that. It's probably not true, but blame it anyway. The Cardinals have a week, and it's not necessarily the week we thought we were going to get. Last week, we're recording this during the, you know, the Cubs game. Of course, they come back and win that game late dramatically. They sweep the Cubs. Everybody's hunky-dory. Then they go get swept by the Twins, putting up like a total of 5 hits in that series. They go out to San Diego, win a very close game, win a game where they give up 5 home runs, or they get 5 home runs, and then lose 2 more. So they go 2-4 against the Twins and the Padres. This is not the way we drew this up this week. Lots of reasons to talk about, but the biggest topic we have to get to, because if I don't let Tara talk about this, we may not have time for anything else, is Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright pitches today. He goes 2 1/3. He leaves after walking 6 batters. Apparently after like one of his last warm-up pitches in the first inning, he felt his elbow basically go out, it sounded like, and reverted back to 2017 Adam Wainwright, who couldn't throw anything. How he got away with just a couple of runs is kind of surprising. And it looks like he's returning to the DL probably tomorrow, or, you know, Tuesday, depending on when they make the roster move with the day off tomorrow. Tara, I believe you have opinions on this. I'm just going to let you start and take it wherever you want to, on the past, present, or future of Adam Wainwright.
You know, I think the root of all of it, and I would imagine it's the same for most Cardinals fans, unless they're just so jaded by this version of Adam Wainwright that they've sort of forgotten what he used to be. And the root of that is, this guy, he's been the guy for so long for this team as far as that pitching staff is concerned. He's done and been a part of some of the most extraordinary Cardinals teams and some of the most amazing and unforgettable Cardinals moments, at least as far as my generation of Cardinals fans is concerned. And for the longest time, I know that everyone assumes that I've never been a fan of anyone but Colton Wong, but Adam Wainwright was my guy. And that, I mean, we're talking the 2006 World Series, is one of the greatest memories of my entire life. And so much of that revolves around the moments that Adam Wainwright created. The career that he has gone on to have from there is really extraordinary. And I think it's easy to sort of hide, for me, behind the sarcasm and the joking and sort of the more critical, well, I guess this is the end of Adam Wainwright kind of comments, but it's absolutely heartbreaking to watch him out there like he was today as this shell of himself with no real ability to do anything about it. I have been very hesitant to say I think Adam Wainwright is done, because I never want to question someone like Adam Wainwright, and I never want to, from the outside, completely unaware of what he may or may not be fighting through, to tell someone else when their career is over. But today, watching him was the first time that I've watched Adam Wainwright and really truly felt like this might be the last time we see Adam Wainwright start for the St. Louis Cardinals. And man, that is hard. as a fan of him as a person, as a fan of him in a Cardinals uniform. And yes, the late nights are getting to me, but I've also just spent the last half hour going back to, and I was trying to compare Adam Wainwright before the Achilles injury to Adam Wainwright after the Achilles injury. But in doing so, you start finding these Adam Wainwright gems, and it's a little depressing to go back and see how limited he is right now compared to what he should have been and what he once was. And I don't know. I just, for the first time, like I said, I watched him today and thought, this might actually be the end. And that's, that is rough.
You know, my Meet Me Mutual co-host Alan Medlock texted me today at the end of the game. First of all, he asked what was going to lead off the podcast tonight, and I said the offense, and then realized after we kind of got into more of it that it had to be Adam Wainwright. But he said that he felt watching it today that there was a bit of a sense of finality when Mike Matheny came out and got in. I was out spending the afternoon with my mother's and talking to her, so I didn't watch the game, but there has to be some. I mean, we've known a lot that this year could be the last year that we ever see Adam Wainwright anyway, with the contract situation, with the way he's been, you know, pitched last year, that even if he was a serviceable pitcher all year long, you know, that might have been it. But that's, I mean, you know, like Dennis Lawson on Twitter, Grayson, said today, you'd like to see him come back as, you know, get some sort of relief appearance and get one of more, you know, him and Yachty one more hug on the field. That doesn't look, I mean, right now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Now, strange things happen. Of course, Wainwright says he still plans on being a presence in the latter part of the year. But, you know, once with Adam Wainwright, it's hard to imagine this, but Adam Wainwright has to pitch effectively to keep his roster spot because a rotation spot. I mean, you have Alex Reyes that is already on his way. You have Jack Flaherty who could come up at any time. And if one of those takes that spot, they're not relinquishing it. Go ahead.
You could hear the thought. Hear no, but I think there was part of what, kind of gave that sense of finality, I think, is the fact that Adam Wainwright is aware of that. Adam Wainwright knows these guys are ready to be major league starters, and he knows that he has to be better than that, or at least provide a comparable skill set in the way that he can go out and get the job done to hold on to that. And I think for the first time, there was a moment between Adam Wainwright and Mike Matheny when Wainwright came off the field. They made the pitching change. They came back from the commercial break, and they were showing this moment between Mike Matheny and Adam Wainwright in the dugout. And neither one of them would make eye contact with the other, and Adam Wainwright would say a couple words, and Mike Matheny just sort of dropped his head and then just started shaking his head. I don't know what was said. I don't know if that was discussed. I don't know how many people caught that. But to me, that was the difference. It wasn't this Mike Matheny walk by and pat him on the back and, you know, we'll get him next time. It was this very distinct, there's something being said here that's different. And Wainwright was doing all the talking. I don't know if that's when he told Mike that his elbow was hurting before the first pitch of the game. And Mike's reaction was to that. Or if there was something else that was said, but you're right. There are guys that will come up and pitch better than Adam Wainwright can right now. And I don't think that's a secret. I don't think Adam Wainwright is unaware of that fact. And I think his competitiveness has led him to believe that he can still be that competitive. Until today, I saw a completely different reaction out of him today than I've ever seen from him before.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unlike Adam Wainwright to, I mean, it's definitely not unlike Adam Wainwright to go out there hurting and pitch anyway. That's typical, but yeah. It's a little bit surprising even to have that turnaround. There's got to have been something, you know, we look at his rehab start. I mean, and obviously most of us, all we got to see were the numbers, and he threw five scoreless innings and he struck out, I don't remember how many, and he threw, you know, 65-70% strikes, and from all those accounts, looked pretty good. Now, apparently, I heard some rumor that the radar gun didn't light up like we would like to see, and maybe that's why. But the Cardinals were very hesitant to give Wainwright this start. We kind of saw that. The rehab was what, Monday morning, and you know, just looking at the numbers and stuff, it was like, oh well, he's going to make his next start in San Diego. That's no big deal. And the Cardinals didn't come out and say that immediately. In fact, they made him throw a bullpen on Thursday to see if it would be okay. And then it took a while. They finally announced that he was going to be a starter. But even with that, they kept John Gant up to be this safety net to eat innings that Adam Wainwright might not be able to chew. The club's obviously seeing something that... And I can't say that it's not something that we don't see, because we do see some of that, but I think they've got even more information and they're much more concerned about the viability of Adam Wainwright than most of us are, or at least they were until today. Now I think everybody's concerned significantly about it after today. And you're right, it's difficult to go through this. It's not a situation that we as Cardinal fans have done a lot of. I mean, maybe Chris Carpenter, but even then, you kind of, you know, you had the injury to explain that, and you hated to see Chris Carpenter go out like the way he did, but we also thought...
But it also didn't go on as long as this.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like, and I was, you brought up Carp. One of my thoughts today watching Adam Wainwright was he needs to have a heart-to-heart with Chris Carpenter, because... Carp was able to look at the situation and realize, I can't be what I think I'm capable of being. I can't be what I know I need to be. So I can't just keep doing this. And yes, the injury made that decision a lot easier for him. And perhaps the recurrence of this elbow thing will make that a lot easier for Adam Wainwright. But I think with Carpenter, it just seemed like the finality that we may have seen a glimmer of today came a lot quicker. So it didn't linger on and it didn't drag on, and he didn't get healthy and then try to come back again after that. You know, beyond maybe some thoughts and some long toss ahead of spring training 1 year, but it seemed like he knew when it was time. And no one can make that decision for Adam Wainwright. He has to make it on his own. But the Cardinals still have to be able to move forward with what they need to do for the team. And that's where it gets tricky, because, you know, a lot of people are saying move him to the bullpen. I don't think that's going to be any better for Adam Wainwright. Because it's not like he just doesn't have the durability. He doesn't have the velocity to go three times, four times through the lineup. He doesn't start with it. And the physical limitations are altering his command, which is what we saw today. And if he doesn't have command and he doesn't have velocity, there's no point in trying to put him in a bullpen, because those are the two things you have to have to be effective out of the bullpen. And he doesn't have either one of those right now. So that's not a solution either. There's no good solution to an alternate path for Adam Wainwright as he is right now.
Yeah. There's not even that eighth man under glass right now. It's Mike Matheny.
Right.
By basic nature of being forced to some degree, with all the extra inning games and things like that, has had to go through continually rotating through people, sitting in Memphis and that, and there's really not anybody. So there's no, you know, put him out there and wait for the big blowout game. And you're right on Carpenter. I mean, Carpenter threw that game, the best game we've ever seen pitching wise, against Roy Halladay. In 2011, he threw seven more starts in his career, counting the rest of that postseason, counting the next postseason, seven more starts. I mean, that's it. Mm-hmm. And when it was done, it was done. And that was, you're right, that injury kept him out. You know, some people, and you kind of referenced it, that Achilles heel, or the Achilles tendon that he tore in 15. And he came back, and I think, you know, coming out of the bullpen, it was a little bit different, but we all got a little bit deluded by the fact that he came back so strong at the end of that year. And you wonder, I mean, if he hadn't, would he be better now? I don't think so. I think that's just an injury that was going to do what it did to him. But, you know, you kind of wonder what it would have been like if he hadn't done that, because he was so good even that year before he came out of the batter's box limping like that. So I don't see a path for Adam Wainwright right now. And I, you know, and again, you're right, that's painful to say given what he's meant for this team, given the longevity that we've seen out of him. But with a rotation that's already full, and, you know, you talk about putting him in the bullpen, but, you know, it's not like the bullpen's hurting for arms. You know,
well, and it's not like that picture isn't complicated in its own right.
Right.
I mean, if you put Adam Wainwright out there, who's gone?
Right.
And is that better for the bullpen mix than it would have been otherwise?
Yeah.
It doesn't get easier if you just put Adam Wainwright in the bullpen. That doesn't solve anything.
You know, honestly, right now, this is the best scenario. Because if Adam Wainwright didn't say his elbow was hurting, and he wasn't, you know, injured, he'd have to stay on the rotation. He'd have to stay on the roster, and then you try to figure it out. At least now they can put him on the disabled list, and they can leave him there. I mean, there's no guarantee we'll see him come back. I would guess, you know, depending on how they want to play it, if for just scripting purposes and things of that nature, you know, Wainwright could be on the DL until September when the roster's expand, and then hopefully you're ahead enough in the race or you're out of the race or whatever the case may be that he can get a couple, one or two more appearances in Busch Stadium, you know, as a reliever or whatever, get a couple more shots, just to kind of give the fans a chance to say goodbye. That's the way you script it. That doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it works. We have seen mid-season retirements out of players before, and if Wainwright's going to be out for an extended period of time, yeah, he may decide that that's what he wants to do. I don't know.
I think, honestly, he's been on the DL twice since the season started, and both times he's come back to a major league start without really allowing for enough time and enough reps and enough innings to build up to know what he's actually going to be capable of and what the physical limitations are going to be. Now, the fact that he's dealing with an elbow issue that supposedly was cleared up by a procedure over the offseason leads me to believe that every additional inning he throws, whether it's in Peoria or in St. Louis, is going to continue to create problems with the elbow. But if there's any light at the end of that tunnel and Adam Wainwright wants to pursue some sort of rehab to its fullest before he pulls the plug, the Cardinals have to be a bit more insistent that doesn't mean one rehab start. That doesn't mean five innings against minor league hitters. I mean, if I'm in a position to make any of those decisions, I want to see him go out there a number of times to see not just the results of one particular outing, but to see how the elbow responds so that he knows and so that the team knows and so that everyone knows what they're dealing with. Because one rehab start, much like one or two decent starts in St. Louis, are not going to tell the whole story for Adam Wainwright. And I think, to some degree, part of what makes it so difficult to see Waino's career potentially end with an injury is that some of the greatest potential of someone like Adam Wainwright has been halted so many times by an injury. I mean, you look at some of the greatest years that Adam Wainwright had that should have been followed up with another great year. That's the difference between someone like Adam Wainwright and someone like Clayton Kershaw, who goes out and proves it again and again and again, is that Adam Wainwright had a great year and then had Tommy John. And then he had a great year, and then he had an injury, and then he had a great year, and then he had the Achilles injury. So every time it seems like Adam Wainwright is right there poised to be one of those household names as far as starting pitchers go, he's had to deal with an injury. And not that this was setting up to be one of those years, but it seems like the disappointments in his career have come on the heels of some of his greatest highlights because he's been derailed by injury. And I can imagine if I was in his shoes, I would want to do everything I could possibly do to not go out of this game because of an injury.
Yeah. I will say I don't have too much of a problem with them just throwing him for one start in Springfield, because he was, I mean, it's not like he was just terrible before he went down, and he wasn't down for extended, I mean, he was on the DL for what, basically the 10 days, or a little bit more, so now you could argue he should have had the rehab start before he made his, appearance, at home on the home opener, and I get that for sure, but, I don't know, you kind of wonder what it would have been like today if his elbow had held up, but, you know, I think that would have just postponed the inevitable. It feels like that elbow was going to give out, and like you said, it was supposed to be fixed, and it's not. That kind of tells you that maybe it can't be. Mm-hmm. Or if it is, it's going to be one of those things that he's going to have to do it, and it's, you know, then it is a significant rehab, and by the time that's all done, we're to September. So I don't know. I think that it's a very tough thing, and it doesn't seem like the organization is excited about it, obviously, but I think that there's a reason that, you know, they knew this was coming, because I think that's the reason they've got Alex Reyes as a starter right now. I mean, I know that Jack Flaherty can come in and do this, but, you know, if you're going to have an opening in the rotation, I think they want to see Alex Reyes there. And right now there's a fairly large one. And it's not to say that there might not be another one. Michael Walker's he's kind of bouncing back and forth. He didn't have injury issues, but he does have performance issues at times. But right now, there's only one spot, and I think they want Alex Reyes to have that long term. So I guess Flaherty could change some minds starting tomorrow in Minnesota, Tuesday in Minnesota. But I don't know. It's just there's not any excitement about this. I hope. I know we had some people earlier in the year that were I don't know what the nice way of putting this is, but
it's okay. You don't have to be nice all the time.
They were a little more excited about Flaherty than Adam Wainwright pitching, even while Adam Wainwright was on the mound, and they did not believe Adam Wainwright should be there. And you know, maybe they had a case. They just seemed to be a little bit too gleeful when Adam Wainwright was struggling, which struck some chords wrong, but. I think everybody, you know, now is like, hey, we understand what's happening. We're not happy about it. We don't want to see Adam Wainwright like this. But unfortunately, it's time to move on. And it's very difficult. I think at the beginning of the year, we had some argument, some points to say, you know, hey, no, let's give him a chance. But, you know, again, with another injury like this and another outing like this, it's harder and harder to say that he should be there when Reyes and Flaherty are that close.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Wainwright said it today after the game. He said that the fans and the team deserve better than what he was able to give them today. And I truly believe that he means that. I think that there will always be some part of him that believes he can get to that point where what he can deliver is what the team deserves. But I also think that he knows what happened today. He knows how poor of a performance that was and how difficult it was for him physically. And there was one point, several years ago where Adam Wainwright was on pace to not walk a batter all year. Mm-hmm. And he walked six today in less than three innings. So he knows that. And I truly believe that it is what he wants for this team that has meant so much to him, the city, the fans that have been so much a part of this experience and this dream career with him, to have better than that. I don't know that you can find someone who wants the Cardinals to succeed more than Adam Wainwright does. I also just think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who believes in the power of will more than Adam Wainwright does. You're absolutely right. I mean, Flaherty pitching in place of Carlos Martinez right now, there's a vacancy where he can try to prove himself. But Alex Reyes is pitching in Peoria on Monday. By the way, I plan to be there for that, so stay tuned. But, you know, he's going to have every opportunity to come in and be the guy that we saw a glimpse of a couple years ago, and the guy that the Cardinals have been so high on for so long. And, you know, there's part of me that would love to see, in some way, Adam Wainwright be the guy that passes the torch to Alex Reyes, because there were guys in Adam Wainwright's career that did the same thing for him. And he's, if I would want anyone to be that mentor, that, you know, kind of guide to a young pitcher coming up with the weight of the world on his shoulders coming off of this injury, like Alex Reyes is, I would want it to be Adam Wainwright. So whether he does any sort of rehab and actually tries to come back after this or not, I think he has to see the writing on the wall now more clearly than he ever has. And part of that writing on the wall is Alex Reyes, and the Cardinals will get a good look at him tomorrow in Peoria and Springfield after that. And it won't be long before he should be ready to be that next man up and to do it in a way that's exciting for the fan base, for the organization. And, unfortunately for Adam Wainwright, that might mean his attempt at getting back to the greatness that he described earlier in the year, is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Although you know, if there's anybody that could, you know, I have a feeling that Adam Wainwright at 44 years old is going to feel like, you know, I could probably get out there and, sure, you know, give him a few good innings. You know, I don't know that you can ever quench this optimism that Adam Wainwright has, but it does seem like those fires are banked a little bit now too, and that's probably a little bit more of the reason we're like this. We have gone, well, close to our normal 30 minutes on one topic.
I told you I had thoughts.
Well, you always have thoughts, and that always is always fun to listen to too. But yeah, we still do need to talk about the offense.
Sure.
As ugly as the Adam Wainwright situation is, it may not be anything on the batting averages that are in the lineup right now. The Cardinals, again, they hit five home runs and scored nine runs against the Padres, but they also went and scored two runs against them in the first game, which they wouldn't have done at all without Tommy Pham. They went 13 innings the next night and scored one, you know, last night scored one run. And it took a little bit of luck, it felt like, for them to get any runs today. Although they did have a chance in the ninth with the bases loaded. You know, Matt Carpenter sat for 3 days in a row, which is unheard of. Dexter Fowler sat one day as well. And yes, everybody said, oh, look, that's the day they scored nine runs. I don't think there's a connection, well, maybe somewhat of a connection, but more the fact that Padres pitcher wasn't any good. You know, Colton Wong, I hate to even mention, but, has been able to get over that 200 hump, at least. I mean, he's still playing very good defense, and I don't, it was funny because I watched the very last of the game today with Colton up, and I was like, why is Colton hitting against a lefty? And then I realized there is nobody else that could have gone in that spot, that could have had a better chance of success, I don't think. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Colton was, I think he was overmatched against Brad Hand, but I don't think there's anybody better, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So what can the Cardinals do? What should the Cardinals do? Is this, besides, of course, designating everybody for assignment and clearing the whole deck, which seems to be a popular Twitter thing, what can they do about this?
I think that people just use DFA like a text acronym for something. They just throw it in there because it means something to the effect of not playing them anymore. It's not really how that works. And you also can't just send Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler to Memphis to figure it out. That's not how that works either. This is not Randall Grichuk, or Stephen Piscotty or Colton Wong, who are still, or were still young enough in their careers to have those options. You know, you're talking about guys who have been in the league for a long time, and they would have to agree to that, or they would have to DFA them. and you know, there'd be waivers to clear and all kinds of details. It's not as simple as just, well, let's send Matt Carpenter to Memphis until he figures that out. Unless there's an injury where you can DL him and then put him on a rehab assignment at Memphis, it doesn't work that way. You also can't just sit Dexter Fowler in favor of Harrison Bader for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, but that's not going to help you, because if your method of getting someone right, we always kind of give Mike Matheny a hard time with his, we got to get him right line. Mm-hmm. But to some degree, he's not wrong. I mean, Dexter Fowler's not going to get it right by not facing major league pitching.
So
at some level, you have to come up with some mix where Dexter Fowler sees enough game action, where Matt Carpenter gets enough playing time, where, you know, whoever else is, pick someone else, whoever is the GOAT that day, and throw them into the mix. Those guys have to continue to take at bats in order to make any changes. However, you also have to give your team the best chance to win under those circumstances. So if that means starting Harrison Bader in right field 3 out of 5 games, then do that, and maybe give Dex a couple of full days off and give him a little bit of time to get out of his own head and whatever the case may be. I don't know these guys well enough to know what they're working on or how they can be motivated or what else a coaching staff can do to help them get out of the slump that they're in. But to sort of overgeneralize and make this like the greatest issue in the history of Cardinals baseball is a little bit of hyperbole, and it's really, I don't know, in my opinion, not particularly helpful when it's obvious that, you know, these guys are, they're going through something, and if they knew how to fix it, if they knew how to come out of that funk, I promise you, Dexter Fowler does not want to be hitting below 200 in the month of May. That's not the goal of his 2018 season. So it's, I don't know that there's an easy answer to how you get particularly Fowler and Carpenter going at the pace in which they should be going, because you can't just sit them all the time, but you also can't really afford to play them all the time when the guys behind them are more effective on the field. And that's where you'd like to think that the manager can pull those strings more effectively and find that right mix and give guys days off, but also take advantage of whether it's matchups or of the hot hand and not alienate the guys who are supposed to be the starters at the same time. I don't know that we've seen that done real effectively by this particular manager over the course of his career, and that doesn't help as they're trying to find whatever way they can to help Dex and Carp come out of it. Because, I mean, the bottom line is this team can't be what it's capable of being without Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler playing up to their expectation. Unless they're going to make some drastic roster changes and trade them both, which also is more complicated than that, because I'm pretty sure Dex has a no-trade clause in his contract, so you can't just trade him out of the blue. Unless you're going to drastically change the roster itself, you're just going to have to fight through it with them for a while, and somebody's going to have to pick them up, and you're going to have to let Harrison Bader play maybe more than you would like to put him out there. If Dex is struggling, and you know, Jed Jerko can certainly handle more playing time than he's been given lately. And Matt Carpenter, I don't know. This is a very long-winded answer because I don't think it's a straightforward, you know, one size fits all, sit him until he starts hitting better kind of solution. And that's not because of contracts or of the money that they're making or name recognition or whatever. It's just the reality of trying to play this game every day and figure out what to do when things are going wrong.
Yeah, to some degree, I've always thought if you bench them until they hit, it's kind of like throwing somebody in debtor's prison until they paid their debt.
Right.
You know, how are you supposed to be able to do that if you can't earn money or, you know, earn playing time? You know, I wrote a little bit about Carpenter on Friday and more about the divide that seems to be going along with Carpenter between the, you know, some of the sabermetrics and some of the things that are saying his process is good, it's just some bad luck, versus those that really don't want to listen to that and say, look, he's not producing. I think it would be easier for us if the metrics didn't say that things were right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if things are wrong, I haven't done any of the research because I'm not crazy. We leave that to Zach.
But
I haven't seen anybody talking about Dexter Fowler barreling balls or his ex-woba being, you know, much better. And so I'm guessing it's not. And I'm guessing that that's an issue. I mean, you know, Fowler may need some sort of adjustment, may need some days off just to work in the cage or something like that to get a swing back. But right now, Carpenter, for at least a lot of the underlying stuff, not everything, but a lot of the underlying stuff seems to indicate that what he's doing should be working. It's just not. And so then it's like, well, how long do you wait for luck to even out? When do you expect those balls to start dropping? And I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a situation right now that maybe Matheny did finally realize that he needed to clear his head. He had the one pinch hit this weekend. So he's 1-for-22 since he had the big game against the White Sox where he had a double and a home run that, you know, that tied it late. And that one hit is the one ball that went over Kyle Schwarber's head that should have been caught in the Saturday game against the Cubs.
Yeah.
That's bad. And it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, he's just, you know, he's in a slump, because it was bad before that, and then you've got this on top of it. You know, this offense has been predicated somewhat on Matt Carpenter being a guy that at least gets on base, that can be effective, even if he's never going to be that almost MVP type that we saw before. You know, if he could hit 270 and walk his normal times and he's getting on base at a 340 clip, and, you know, then you know, he still has his flaws, but he's very helpful. He's just not anywhere close to that. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, it is that catch 22, if you will, of, you know, he's got to play, but he's hurting the team when he does.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I was expecting you to answer that question, and you didn't. So, I don't know where we go from here, because I wanted us to solve that problem.
Yeah, you know, the whole luck versus he's just bad argument, I think, is it's exhausting on either end of the spectrum, because the reality is, whether it's bad luck or whether it's bad ability, he's just bad right now. And again, I think, I promise you, Matt Carpenter knows that. And he's not satisfied with what he's, the product that he's putting on the field either. You know, I think it's easy to say, and I've said it, you know, if they're going to shift the way that they are on Matt Carpenter right now, maybe he could change his luck by forcing them to move back to more normal positioning, and then that opens up the field for him again. By hitting the ball the other way, by bunting for a base hit in that shift. And you know, if I'm saying that, that it's got to be pretty bad, because I am very much in the more on the never bunt side of the spectrum there. But he doesn't do that well either right now. So it's not as if it's just as simple as, oh, I'll just drop down on a bunt, because he hasn't been doing that with any level of consistency either. But even attempting it could, you know, make the defense shift back a little bit. I don't know. I think there's too much going on in Matt Carpenter's head right now, between trying to morph back into the doubles hitter that he was when he was that almost MVP caliber player, trying to not hit for power as aggressively or as intentionally, or trying to, you know, whatever the mentality is that he's trying to adapt to, plus then the fact that he's just not hitting well, and whether that's a result of the changes he's trying to make in his approach or the changes he's trying to make in his swing, that, you know, chicken or the egg kind of thing again. But then you add on top of that the fact that now he's thinking, okay, what I'm doing is working, it's just bad luck, but why isn't it changing? And it can, I don't know, I feel like there, for a guy like Matt Carpenter, there might just be too much information in his head right now. And maybe that's why he had the 3 days off. Maybe he needs to just, I don't know, maybe he needs to stop trying to be the guy with all the analytics and just look at what's happening on the field, whatever situation he happens to be in, and just play baseball and not overcomplicate it. I don't know. Maybe that's simplifying it too much. Maybe he needs more data. Maybe he needs more time in the cage. Maybe he needs to rework his swing and focus more on how they're shifting and why they're shifting and what he can do about it. But it seems like he's got so much going on that he's kind of just stuck somewhere in the middle, in his approach, in his swing, in his intentions when he steps in the batter's box, what he's actually there to do, and in how he's going about doing it. I don't know. That's the closest I can get to a solution, is that I think for Matt Carpenter, there's so much going on in his head that I think it's just lost a little bit of that natural, he just always seems to instinctively come up with a big hit in the moment, because he's trying to come up with a big hit in the moment.
I think there's something to that as well. I've kind of had a similar thinking, because you look at his at-bats and you look at how often he's just looking at pitches. And he's striking out at a rate that's, I think he's striking out at a 27% rate. You know, he's walking at like a 17%, which is about normal for him. But so you're getting, 45 to 50% of the time, he's not making contact. And that's, again, there are walks are good and that's helpful, obviously. Strikeouts not as much. And that's for a guy that came into the season saying, you know, I got away from what I wanted to be. I don't want to strike out this much. Now he's striking out at a, 7% more than he was last year. Something is not working. And I think you're right. I think that's the biggest thing, is he's just not, maybe he is overthinking things, and he's getting up there and trying to figure things out. And as he does, the pitcher throws another strike by him. And it may just be he's just going to have to get up there and say, first pitch I see that I like, I'm swinging at it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just to try to swing his way out of things instead of being that patient hitter. Because there comes a point in time, and I don't know when that time may be. It may be Tuesday after seeing him rest this weekend. But there comes a point in time where he has to drop in the lineup if he's not going to get something going, because he does the team no good sitting in at second or first or third or whatever that he has been all year long when he's not doing anything. Not, you know, he might be walking occasionally, but if he's not doing anything else, he doesn't really help. Now, again, we focus a lot on Matt Carpenter. He's a lightning rod for this offense. But as you pointed out, Dexter Fowler's not hitting. Colton Wong has had his moments, but is not necessarily tearing it up. Marcell Ozuna has a decent average, but, you know, he got his third home run this weekend, and by this time, I think most of us expected him to have, you know, double digits, or at least close to it. You know, he's on a pace for about 10 this year. Well, you know, maybe more like 12. that's not the cleanup hitter that we thought we were getting. You know, Paul Young seems to be going well. Jose Martinez has slowed off, but he's still, you know, functional. But there's just enough of those black holes in this lineup. And then you get into the catching situation, which Kelly and Pena both are no Yadier or Molina.
Got another half hour to talk about the catching situation?
Yeah, we'll save that for another time. You know, I just... There's too much not there, and we're seeing that. I mean, they had some good game, had a good, that good game against the Cubs. They had the good game against the Padres, but you know, most of this week they have struggled to score a run or two. And there are times, you know, where you know if you know DeJong's hitting fifth and he doesn't get it done, it's not happening for another couple innings. I mean, there's just nothing coming up by after him. And you know maybe that means that Mo makes a deal soon for some sort of offensive boost, although I don't know who or what it would be. But something's got to change, and you got to figure. I mean, I hate to go blaming coaches, but you know when they're not hitting, and they haven't been hitting for well a couple of years or longer.
Yeah.
You got and all the other coaches have changed jobs. You know, I kind of look back at this team. You know, we've talked a lot about this team not being the 2017 Cardinals, but the 2017 Cardinals about this time had made a run. They ran that seven games from that to beat the Braves, to beat the Marlins, and Mag Sierra was up and was the second coming of I don't know what, but he was to say it was maybe the first coming of Mag Sierra or whatever it may be. But and they were in first place and everything looked hunky dory, and we thought okay, everything was great, and then nothing, and by June they were firing coaches and shuffling deck chairs. I'm not saying that that's going to be exactly what we're going to see now, but this team could easily follow that path if they're not careful, in which case you got to figure John Mabry's job's on the line somewhere along the way. I mean, we've thought this for years, but it feels like, you know, if they're not going to hit this year, if nothing else, a new voice in the clubhouse would be the, what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, last year, defense was a huge problem. Defense has been much better, with the exception of the fact that you've got some guys who are just by nature a bit of a liability defensively. But the defensive miscues have been dramatically lessened, as well as some of the base running miscues. Now, there are still entirely too many, but compared to last year, I feel like we're less focused on the Cardinals running into outs. A lot of that credit goes to Jose Oquendo. If you look at the pitching for the Cardinals, the pitching has, with the way the Cardinals offense has been unable to score, it's a bit of a marvel that they've won the games that they have won, because the pitching has kept them in it. And while there have been some terrifying moments out of that bullpen, it's been pretty effective with, especially considering the mix of guys that have been in and out of there and back and forth from to and from Memphis. I think that while it seems maybe the pitching coordinator role was a bit overblown, I do think we're seeing some of the effects of Mike Maddux and the way that he's come in and has been able to work with some of these young pitchers. And they may not be the best rotation in the league right now, but they've been fairly consistent. And I think that if you want to talk about an impact, the impact that a coach can have, you got to give Mike Maddux some credit there. The thing that is not changed this year from the 2017 Cardinals and the 2016 Cardinals is the fact that they still can't score. And when you put together a lineup like the one that the Cardinals have this year, however you shuffle that top four or five, it should not be this bad. And, you know, whether that's because of individual slumps from Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler and Marcelo Ozuna, or if it's because of an overarching philosophy of hitting that simply isn't working again, you look at the way some of those other problems have been taken care of this year, and I don't think it's hard to find reasons to point at the hitting coach for the fact that that is the piece of this puzzle that still has not come together. And it's not the first year, and it's not the same players, and you know, it's different guys that are struggling to this extent. Maybe that's the magic bullet. Maybe it's not a matter of Dex never playing another game the rest of his life and Matt Carpenter not playing until he somehow magically agrees to go figure it out in Memphis. Maybe it's the guy they're working with in the cages that isn't being effective in helping them sort through it. And I don't know, that's such a hard thing to quantify, but it's the piece that hasn't changed, and it's the personnel that hasn't changed as well. So I don't know, that's one of those things that it's hard for me to point those fingers without being there, without being in on the work that's being done. But at the same time, it may be less of a knock on Mabry himself and more of the reality check that doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result has not ever really worked out well for anyone.
This is true. And I mean, it's, again, you never want to call for somebody's job, I don't think. I'm not ever been one to do that, not to write posts that say Matheny or anybody should be fired. But you're right. I mean, that is, and I mean, you've got guys like Badeska in Memphis that are considered, you know, hitting gurus, if you will. I mean, that, there's a reason that they sent guys to Memphis for a while. And that was partly to work with him. I mean, there's others in this organization that have had similar reputations. You know, again, I'm not saying that it's all John Mabry's fault. Because I'm also not 100% sure how much blame or credit managers or coaches should actually get. But you can't fire all the players. I guess that's what it boils down to.
Maybe instead of trying to figure out how to get Carpenter and Fowler to Memphis, you figure out how to bring the Memphis Magic to St. Louis. Yeah. And maybe that's the hitting coach.
That may be. I mean, you can't. Honestly, right now, nothing could hurt. I mean, I could go be the hitting coach, and they would not be any worse than they are now. I don't.
I mean, they've got a shuttle just constantly running from Memphis to St. Louis. He should be able to just get on that at some point, right?
I mean, sure. A stowaway or something, you would think.
Yeah, coming up Tuesday? Well, that's not in St. Louis, so I'm not sure the shuttle goes that far. But he could just hitch a ride with Jack Flaherty, right?
Sure.
And they can meet up in Minnesota.
Yeah, if Flaherty's not already there. But I don't know. I feel like if that doesn't come, if the offense doesn't come around pretty soon, and a change like that's not made, you got to wonder why. And I feel like the Cardinals have done a lot in the offseason to say, look, Mike, this is our team, not yours. And I know you're buddy-buddy with John Mabry, but, you know, I got to feel like they're going to say, this isn't working. We're going to make this move. You can profit by it or be destroyed. I mean, that's that kind of thing, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. And hopefully, you know, hopefully things will get going around. And, you know, maybe Tommy Pham can be the hitting coach because he seems to know what he's doing. So,
it's true.
But I think Tommy
spent a lot of time. If Yadier Molina can be the unofficial, what do we want to call him? The unofficial GM and make roster decisions?
Manager,
then Tommy Pham can be the unofficial hitting coach.
Right.
I think it's fine.
So I think Tommy's really just focused on Tommy.
Well, yeah.
You know,
that might be true.
Sure he's that excited about, you know, helping out others. But, you know, Yachty's not doing anything right now. Maybe Yachty could do a little bit of
that's true.
Coach
that's true.
Stuff. Because, you know, he's got to be catching
right.
Probably by now. it's been a week since that surgery, so.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not
out. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's probably going to show up at the hotel in Minnesota and be like, hey, guys, I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah, you may like.
Bye, Carson Kelly.
Yeah. Carson, yeah. Me and my boy Francisco are going to hang out here and you can go back to Memphis because it's a shuttle. It's just wait. It'll come back around.
It's just hanging out. It leaves every half hour on the half hour.
They don't actually turn the keys off. They just,
just constant.
Just constant. All right. Well, that's a fun show right there. The possible ending of Wainwright and an offense that doesn't work. So if you're not upbeat after this one, I can't help you.
Only the best for our Gateway fans and friends.
That's right.
This is the things we do for you.
That's right. So, anyway, we will be back next week. Hopefully, in a little bit better mood and a little bit more interesting and fun things to talk about. The Cardinals do have the two games in Minnesota. Get to use the DH so they can throw in another hitter that can't hit. And then they have four with Philadelphia. We will be dealing with those six games when we get back at you next week. But until then, always check out Tara's YouTube channel with her previews and her about last night's. And I'm like, I don't guess you do an actual bird seats anymore because you don't actually have time.
Yeah, I keep thinking I will, and then, you know. Yeah. You see enough of me and hear enough of me that I think no one needs more of that.
Gotta give the people what they want, so. You just redid the whole Birdseeds intro and everything.
It's true, I did. I should have thought that one through a little more effectively.
Right. But anyway, you've got our previews, and I guess you'll have the Minnesota one up Tuesday.
That is the plan.
That is the plan, so. And she may have something about today's game tomorrow, which will be probably as exciting as this.
I might just be like, so I talked about this last night. You should go listen to it. Yes.
I don't want to talk about it again.
Right.
Anyway, so again, check her out on the YouTube, on Birds on the Black. If you can't find it on YouTube, which I would hope you could, but if you can't, it's on the Birds on the Black site as well. So, until next time, that's Tara and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.